We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight DeWhite Shepherd.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm glad to be here.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located right here in Elk City. If you would like to be put on the blessing wheel for the blessing book for the month of May, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. The book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams. And there's a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all.
I think you did.
God's so awesome. He's so faithful.
He is.
When I'm over here kind of scattered this morning because we've been having some technical difficulties lately, but it's okay.
There's always a fly in the ointment that gives the flavor. There you go. But you get through.
He helps me out a lot.
Prayer helps, doesn't it? Prayer helps, for sure.
Speaking of prayer, would you pray to start
us
out?
We should do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning I wouldn't want to think about what life would be like if you had not given us the beautiful gift of prayer. Being able to come literally into your throne room of grace, into your very presence, and to draw near to you because you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to make the way for that to be possible. And God, not only did you send Jesus, your Son, and Jesus, not only did you come and live and die for us and raise from the dead for us and send your Holy Spirit to us, but you gave us the faith to believe that you are the Son of God. And because of that, because we put our faith and our trust in you, we've been forgiven. Our sins have been done away with. We've been made new in Christ. And we are gathered here this morning in your name, Lord God, to encourage one another and to speak, Lord God, if there's someone listening today, watching or listening, whenever you're hearing this, and you don't know that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ as Lord, today is your day. You wouldn't be hearing us otherwise. So you hang in there. God's got an encouraging word for you. And Father, we entrust this program to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
I like your title.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Who am I? It's not who am I, you know. It really is like I want you thinking this way. You know, most of us don't have a lot of problems with thinking too highly of ourselves. Now, sometimes, yes, that's possible. But for most people I know, that's not the issue. The issue is we tend to think too lowly of ourselves. We don't realize what God can do in us and through us if we'll just allow him and believe him and cooperate with him. So that's kind of my thoughts this morning. As I got up, I kind of thought I was going to share something else. I went into my study and sat down, and man, the Lord just began to download this in my spirit. So here we go. Here we go. If you got your Bible, please grab your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1 is where we're going to go. Jeremiah, first starter. Jeremiah chapter 1, pretty familiar passage of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to go to looking at verse 4. Jeremiah 1, and we're going to begin verse 4. And please, if you do, Monica's got her notebook out over here. got the date. Says here's the scripture we're starting at. If you do that, you're gonna love it. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." I want you to think about that a second. That has a lot of implications in our world today. First of all, he said, "I knew you." You are you before you breathe your first breath. That's, if you don't believe that, then you obviously don't believe the word of God. So there's nothing, if you don't believe the word of God, there's nothing I can do to help you. You're lost, you're hopeless, until you decide to believe the word of God. That's the truth. But knowing that we believe the word of God, first of all, the first thing I want to remind you of today, thinking about you and all your adequacy and inadequacy, is where did you come from? Because in order to know who you are, you need to know where you came from. Fair enough? So where did I come from? God himself formed me in the womb of my mother. He formed you in the womb of your mother. You may have surprised her. You did not surprise God. You may not have been planned by your parents, but you were planned by God. He has plans and purposes for your life. He made you. He formed you. I like the way the psalmist wrote in 139. It says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Knit me. That, it's intricate, purposeful, detailed working. And so the word of the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah wasn't even breathing his first breath yet, and God is already looking into the future. See, because God, according to the Bible, God is not a being who is limited by space or time. He is God. He's above space and time. He's not apart from it, but he's above it. In other words, God is in my past, and he's in my now, and he's in my future. And he's already gone into my future to prepare the path for me. That's why it says he leads me in the paths. He's already gone ahead. I don't have anything to worry about or be afraid of or anything like that, because God is not only with me now, but he's also already in my future, or has gone to my future to prepare. He's given me words. He's bringing back words for me to speak so that my future becomes the future that he wants it to be. And the action. So here in Jeremiah, God said, "Before I formed you, I knew you, and I set you apart, and I appointed you." And I want to just say this: if you've been appointed, you know what rhymes with appointed? Anointed. Anointed. If you've been appointed by God, if he's called you to him, see, well, I don't think I'm appointed. I mean, I'm saved. I mean, I gave my heart to Jesus. Some people go this way: I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I'm like, well, okay. I'm going to let that slide today. You ask Jesus to come in your heart. The Bible says make him Lord of your life, not ask him to come in your heart. Make him Lord of your life. Confess him as Lord with your mouth. Believe in your heart that he raised from the dead. Great. That's where we start. We all start there. But then we live with him as Lord. If he's called you to salvation, you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, however you did it, you've been appointed. You have an appointment with the destiny of God in your life. And if you're appointed, God doesn't expect you to live it by yourself. If you're appointed, you're anointed. And you need to realize that. Because so many times in life we all feel inadequate. We don't feel up to the challenge. And we're like, well, who am I to host a radio program? Monica says, you know. Who am I to help host a radio program? Tina says, you know. Who am I? Like, well, who am I? You know? And the answer is, I am the person that God formed in the womb of, in my case, his, y'all's, hers. That's only two choices, by the way. Our mothers. God formed us in the womb of our mother. So that's who I am. I'm that one whom God formed in the womb of his mother, who God had a plan and a purpose for when it was created. I'm not just a product of biology, but I am a literal product of the hand of God. And that's what God wanted Jeremiah to know. Why? You ready for this? Because he had an assignment for him. You're like, yay, assignment. If you, Jeremiah, I could take you to a place in Jeremiah where his assignment became so overwhelming that he literally, don't do this, don't do what he does, but he literally starts complaining and crying out and saying, I wish I'd never been born. Cursed is the day of my birth. Cursed is the man that came and announced my birth. I mean, he's literally that discouraged because Jeremiah's calling was so tough. Jeremiah was called at a time in Israel when they were worshiping everything. Now, did they ever just totally give up on Jehovah God? No, they just put him on the shelf next to Baal and Ashtaroth and this and that. And you know, God is a jealous God. That's the truth, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm a jealous husband over my wife. I ain't sharing her with nobody. That ain't how it works. It doesn't work like that. And with God, it's like when we let something come into our lives that begins to take God's place, don't think for a second he's not going to get jealous. He is going to get jealous, and he's going to that jealousy is going to provoke him to action. He's not going to let that slide forever. So Israel, God's own called, chosen people, the nation of Israel, they were worshiping Baal, Asheroth, all the things, like I said, Molech, all the gods around them that the people they had come in and God had given them the land, they're supposed to drive them all out. Don't worship their God. Don't be like them. Well, you know how it is. You tell a kid, don't do this. What do? First thing is, don't eat those cookies. What do? As soon as you turn your back, they're going after the cookies, you know. Human nature. So Jeremiah's called by God in this time when there was such spiritual darkness in the nation. And his calling was, I'm just going to put this, extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. It'd be like you being sent to Washington, D.C. to straighten out everybody up there. And like, what would your response be to that? God calls you and he goes, I want you to go to Washington, D.C. I want you to straighten out all the mess. You're going to speak to the shakers and the movers and the people in power, because in his case it was going to be, I'm going to send you to kings and nations. And he goes, who am I? So let's keep reading. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Here's his response. All sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. It's the way he saw himself. Now, I don't believe that Jeremiah is like 5 years old when God's talking to him here. But he perceives himself to be completely inadequate. He's like, I don't talk good. Here's what God said to that. Jeremiah in verse 6 said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. The Lord said to me, verse 7, what's those next three words? Do not say. Do not say, I'm only a child. Maybe you're not saying, I'm only a child. Maybe you're saying, I'm just a nobody. Do not say, I'm just a nobody. Do not say, I can't do that. Faith don't come in can'ts. It comes in cans. I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't come in a can in the grocery store. It comes in the can of I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me? Who does he strengthen? Me. Why don't he just do it himself? It's what he left us here for. He said, you're my body. Do my work. The works I do, you'll do also. But he also told the disciples, you need to wait until the Holy Spirit empowers you. Don't be trying to do it in your own human strength. It won't work. So Jeremiah, God said, I called you and appointed you to the nations. And he responded in essence, I can't do that. I don't know how to talk right. God said, do not say that. Do not say I'm only a child. Here's what he said. You must go to everyone I send you, and you say whatever I command you. And don't be afraid of them. Why not? For I'm with you, and I'll rescue you, declares the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about Jeremiah's life. You go read the whole book of Jeremiah if you never have. Go read it. You'll find out that Jeremiah did rise up in courage, and he did go and confront the kings and the false prophets and all the people. And God did use him to bring reform to Israel. I mean, some of my favorite verses are in Jeremiah, like 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. He was saying that to a rebellious nation who had been carried off as prisoners because of their rebellion. But he was the only one who God was using in that moment just to remind the people of who they are. They had forgotten. They'd gone away. But I'll tell you something else. Jeremiah went and confronted kings, and they don't always like to be confronted, and they have great power and authority. So when he confronted them, he said, throw him in jail and leave him there for a while. And he did. Have him beaten and flogged. And they did. Another time, throw him in the well. We'll just kill him. Just throw him in the well and leave him there. And they did. And eventually he got out. Yeah. And eventually, I mean, it just was no bed of roses. I'm telling you that the calling of God sometimes is just not all a cakewalk. Anybody told you that if you give your life to Jesus, all your problems would just go away and you wouldn't be challenged? If anybody ever lied to you and told you that, they were lying or they were mistaken. But here's a fact. You don't have to be afraid. You will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You can be victorious. You can live in victory. You can have joy in spite of circumstances. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's with you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. So he's telling Jeremiah, in essence, Jeremiah, who are you that I would send you? You're the one that I formed in the womb of your mother for the purpose of sending you. So don't say of yourself, I can't do it. Don't say of yourself, I'm inadequate. And saying is important. He didn't say don't think of yourself. That's obvious too. But thinking of yourself is bad. Thinking of yourself badly is bad. Because you know what happens when you think of yourself badly? You're going to say of yourself badly. And when you say it, you're empowering it to come to pass. Somebody go, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Because Jesus said if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you're going to have it. That's Jesus. That's not me. If you want to disagree with that, then disagree with Jesus. Don't say, well, I'll disagree with those name it and claim it preachers. Then just disagree with Jesus. I'm not going to. I'm going to agree with Jesus as much as I possibly can. And if my mind says, you know, well, this has seemed, I'm just going to say, well, he's right. I don't care what I think. He's right. Amen? So who formed you? God formed you. And he formed you for purpose. And even though you may feel inadequate, I hope you do feel inadequate. I would hate to think that you think, I got this. You know, God's called you to preach. God's called you to pastor church. God's called you to host a radio program. God's called you to witness to your neighbors. God's called you to raise these children in a godly fashion. God's called you to be the Christian witness in your office place. Whatever it is. Oh, I can't do that. Don't you say that. And then also don't say this. Ah, yeah, I got this. Yeah, you don't got this. You need God. And we need to be humble, but humility is not self-abasement. That's a big fancy word for beating yourself down. You know what that actually is? When you despise yourself, this is going to sound so backwards to you, but if you'll let your spirit talk to you, he'll tell you that's just right. But despising yourself is a perverted form of pride. Because it's still completely 100% self. Wouldn't you say that pride is self-focused? So if someone comes around and they're arrogant, and they're like, I got this, I'm all that, and a bag of chips. You don't need nothing but me, baby. I got that. You know, you'd be like, oh, you prideful, nasty thing. Get away from me, right? But here comes somebody else. That's 100% self-reliant and self-focused. And the complete opposite end of that spectrum is somebody who feels like I'm so inadequate, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. What is that? That's 100% self-reliance on their inabilities. It's the old prideful guy. He's all about what he perceives as his abilities. His ability to get it done. And over here on the far other end of the ditch is a person who's so focused on their inability to get it done. And both things are exactly the same. They're both completely 100% prideful.
That pride stick hurts.
Yes. Yes. So we want to be that person who's in that place where it says, I can do anything God wants me to do, and I will be successful. Because of him, not because of me. I'm going to stay humble. I'm going to let him do. I'll say what he says to say. That's all I got to do. See, that's what God was calling Jeremiah to do. He said, you just say what I tell you to say and go where I tell you to go. That's all. And I'll be with you. I'll be with you. You'll be like, okay. He didn't say, I want you to know, I don't invent the word of God. I just preach what's already in here. Come on. So now, let's look at verse 17 before we move on. Same chapter, Jeremiah 1, 17. He tells him, get yourself ready. You listen, you do have a part to play. He said, no, God's going to use me greatly. I don't have to do nothing. Well, I don't know that I would agree with that. But it's not up to you to make it happen, and it's not in your own strength that it's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you this. You do need to get yourself ready. You need to put the Word of God in your heart. You need to spend time in the presence of God, rubbing up against Him, because that's what anointing means, rub up against. Get yourself ready. And then he said this, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Even if you think it's going to get your head cut off, you better stand up and say what God tells you. He said, don't be terrified by them, for I will terrify you before them. Do you hear this? Listen, look at it again. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Listen, God said, if you allow a person or a thing to keep you from doing what I'm telling you to do, then I'm going to let fear overwhelm you. That's what God is saying to him. But then watch this. He said, but today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its officials, against its priests, and against the people. In other words, it's you against everybody, Jeremiah. And that was it, man. He had to speak against the kings. He had to speak against the officials. He had to speak against the priests. He had to speak against the people. It's like, you want to talk about a lonely calling, but yet he was anointed and appointed by God from before he was born for this task. And God said, I'm with you. Just go say what I tell you to say and go where I tell you, when I tell you, how I tell you, and do what I tell you. I can do that. Okay. But don't let intimidation keep you from it. And he told him, I made you a fortified city today. I made you a strong wall. They're not going to overcome you. As long as you don't let terror or intimidation or timidity, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, fear, but he did give us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he said, I have made you a fortified city. I have made you. Who am I that God would want to use me? You're God's handiwork, that's who. You're God's called, anointed, appointed, equipped person. Regardless of what your ministry is. I don't have a ministry. I just do this. Like, everything can be ministry. If we bring Jesus to work with us, if we have Jesus in our homes, we're influencing the lives of other people, we're a caregiver, children, adults, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We need the anointing. Let's go over to the book of Judges. That's up toward the front from where you're at. Way up there in the front. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Yeah, that's it. I remember that and I go, well, he shouldn't be judging Ruth. We memorize those books of the Bible sometime. Judges 6. Judges was an interesting time in Israel, the Bible says, and during that time, each one kind of just did what they thought was right in their own sight. Like, that's not going to work very well. Judges chapter 6. So, again, the Israelites, we're starting in verse 1, and we're going to be in Judges 6. We're going to read a whole lot of verses. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. That was their enemies, the Midianites. And because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts and caves and strongholds. In other words, they went and hid in the hills. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the other eastern people invaded the country. And they camped on the land and just ruined all the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle or donkeys. I'm going to tell you what, if you allow the enemy to do it, who caused this to happen? Why are the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the ites, parasites, I call them, why are they able to come in here and do this to God's people? It don't make sense. Simple. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That's where it starts. the devil got no power over you except for what power you choose to give him. And you choose to give it to him not by going, oh, devil, I want you to have power. You choose to give it to him by things you do or don't do, by your obedience to God. You say, well, I'm not saved by works, brother. Me neither, but my works keep me safe. Not saved, safe. Big difference. I'm saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself, but a gift from God, Ephesians 2:8 says. But James said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. He went on to say faith without works or without corresponding action, without a lifestyle to back it up, faith is just dead. It's worthless. It just lays there and stinks. Doesn't accomplish anything. You could be the greatest jockey in the world, saddle up a dead horse. You're not winning no Kentucky Derby. So here's the situation. The Israelites had done evil. They'd opened the door to the devil, and the devil was working them over, using their enemies to do it. And they're just getting trampled. I mean, they're just... they came up like swarms, verse 5, they came up with their livestock, their tents, like swarms of locusts, and it was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. And the Midian, that's a foreign nation, so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. You know what causes lack? God's blessing not being completely able to be fulfilled because of disobedience. Because of a lack of faith. I'm not saying we're not going to experience times where we have lack in our life that draws us to need God more and more. I believe that's appointed by God because he wants to keep us hungry and thirsty. But we should not be being impoverished by the enemy. Okay? So Midian so impoverished the Israelites cried out for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, verse 8, he sent them a prophet who was... Gideon. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. He's reminding them of what he's done for them, how he saved them. He said, I drove them out from before you and I gave you their land. And I said to you, I am Jehovah, the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you didn't listen to me. How come they got such bad stuff going on in their life? Pretty simple. You didn't listen to me. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah. That's Ophrah, not Oprah. That belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat. Watch this. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. That's a weird thing. Why is he doing that? To keep it from the Midianite. In other words, he's hiding. The wine press was in it like a big tank or whatever. But he's threshing wheat in a wine press instead of out there on the threshing floor. The threshing floor would have been a big flat area where they had to beat it all down. And they'd go out there and they'd beat the wheat up and throw it up in the air. And, you know, and the wind would take the chaff away and the grain would fall and then they'd sweep up the grain. That's normal. Thresh the wheat on the threshing floor. But the Midianites would watch to see if the Israelites had any grain, if they were harvesting it on the thresher floor. As soon as they got it threshed, why do the work yourself, you know? As soon as they get the grain threshed and they get the grain where it was usable, here comes the Midianites, we'll have that now. Bullies are bullies, you know. Enemy is a bully. And the best way to deal with a bully is to punch him right in the face. I mean, that's just the honest truth. And then show him that you're not, you may be a bully, but you ain't going to bully me. Because God is with me. Amen. And so Gideon is literally hiding. Looking around, thresh a little wheat, look around, thresh a little wheat. He's hiding. He's hiding it from the enemy because he doesn't have the power to keep the enemy from taking it away from him. And when the angel, so he's threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. I'm glad God told us that in his word for the purpose of keeping it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord, in verse 12, appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What's this mighty warrior doing right now? Hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat because he's afraid of the enemy. And God says to this guy who's hiding, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Really? Watch Gideon's response. I love the honesty here. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened?" I mean, he's just being honest. "Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us, and he has put us into the hand of Midian." See, they did what was wrong, and yet when bad things happen, they blame it on God. Boop, it still happens, don't it? "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand.'" You notice he didn't even deal with Gideon's issue right there. He just let him spout it off, and then he said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And he said this, "But Lord," Gideon said, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh." That's one of the tribes of Israel, not a prominent one. He's not from Judah. He's not from Benjamin. You know, he's one of those other tribes, one of those other brothers. And he said this. He says, "It's not my clan from the other brother tribe of Israel." And then he said this, and am I not the least in my family? I'm a nobody," is what he's saying. And the Lord's saying, "Well, I'm a somebody, and I'm sending you. So who am I? I'm an anointed vessel that God can use if I'll let him go with me." Amen. You need to be thinking that way of yourself. And we're going to come before the Lord's throne room of grace and bring some prayer requests here in just a minute. So if you haven't got yours in, get them to us. And we're going to pray over those and release our faith and believe for good things. So shall we do that?